I can't put myself in like a 14-year-old's body. It sounded weird.
That record button and hit play on your podcast, because it's time to listen to Streaming with the Lights On, the podcast where we stream and we scream, and hopefully it's, you know, a fun time.
Yeah. I mean, not so much a fun time this week.
No.
But just a quick, before we get into the fun stuff, we are recording this the week that Roe v. Wade was overturned in the Supreme Court. So everybody with a uterus lost bodily autonomy.
Woo!
And anyone who's going to argue that abortion is still legal, it's just up to the states. I can't argue with that stupidity. Because I currently live in a state that has, I believe, like a heartbeat ban. And I'm sure give them enough time, it'll be a full ban, because now they can. So, yeah, just it's been a very hard week for people with uteruses and people who care about people with uteruses. If you are in a state like Missouri or one of those states who had like a trigger ban and you need assistance with, I'll just flat out say it, an abortion, check out Mayday Health online. Make sure you use a VPN so they can't track you. And they have a way to get the pill delivered to you discreetly using a forwarding address in a blue state. And then it'll deliver the pills the pill directly to your house in the blue state or in the red state. So check that out. If you have the means to donate abortion funds, I would just Google that. I don't know if it's a .com or a .whatever. So that's where we're at right now. And if you have any issues with that, you can direct them straight to me on my Twitter account with Becca Watching TV. That's perfectly fine. So I just wanted to let that little rant out before we got to the fun stuff, because we do need fun stuff. I thought it was important to address that.
Of course it is. Yeah. I'm sure there's people who are like, I don't want to listen to that in my horror podcast.
Like I said, my Twitter account is Becca Watching TV. Feel free. We will have a fight and I will cry, but you won't know I'm crying because it's virtual. And, you know, then I'll tag Liv in and then they'll make you cry and it'll be... It'll be great. And they're Australian, too. So, like, they will for sure make you cry.
Yeah.
they don't mess around down there.
Yeah. It's not, you know, we're a horror podcast, but that's the real world horror is not what we're here for. And that's, there's nothing short of calling it anything but that. So, you know, we focus on what to do next. And you know, Becca laid out some excellent tools and groundwork there. So that is great. Thank you for that. In good news this week, you know, I feel like we're on the same page. I don't really need to cover the same rant. I'm still going on my Tubi train, checking out more found footage. I hit some surprising gems like last month, but last week have just been a lot of not so much. It's really fun of a subgenre to explore because it's so easy to make, right? Like you could do it on the budget of a ham sandwich, and you can tell when it's the budget of a ham sandwich.
I watched a really bad found footage last year called June 9th.
I saw that a couple weeks ago.
Oh, you watched it?
I did. Yeah. That was surprisingly not as, I mean, I'm not saying
I'm sure it's wasn't. Not the worst.
No, it is by far from like some bad shit I've seen.
So while you're doing Tubi, I'm still doing my TV shows and still dealing with this cough that's never going to go away.
No.
I really wanted to, like, because I feel like I've missed out on Stranger Things when season 4 volume 1 released, and like I missed out on all the jokes and like all the fun stuff because I was doing my rewatch of Stranger Things, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna make sure I'm caught up by volume 2, which comes out on July 1st. So I did that. I counted how many days and how many episodes I needed to watch a day, and so I think I'll definitely be good for volume 2.
I mean, how many episodes are there in total for season 4?
I know volume 1 has 7 episodes. I don't know how many episodes volume 2 is going to have.
7. Okay, got it.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the titles cuz I didn't want anything to be given away. I'm miserable in this, it's summertime. I'm going to be miserable for June's almost over, so hopefully just for the next 2 months. I do not do well with humidity. And no. Bugs, and I feel like there are spider webs everywhere this year, and I have walked through so many, and I'm done with it. I appreciate spiders, but like I'm so sick of walking through their homes. If they could just make, I'm not even that tall. Like they don't even need to make them that tall. Just make it above my head, so I have to walk through it. So yeah.
Yeah, Ellie is 12 weeks, almost 12 weeks old. She's holding her head up pretty good. We've been told by other friends who are parents, a surprisingly good baby. Like, she's such a good baby. She when she cries, it's not screaming. She's almost always in a happy mood.
My mom always said that I was either a really, really happy baby or I was a really, really mad baby.
Oh.
And then, you know, as my father likes to tell people, and I like to tell people because it's funny, and then I was a monster child just to my father, just to my dad.
Now I remember just frequently awful, telling me that.
Awful, awful child. Anyway, speaking of awful children, this week.
Sort of smooth segue. It's smooth enough, but there was a bump in the road, like a human-sized bump.
Right, exactly. You want to tell the good or remind the good people what we watched this week?
Yeah, heck yeah, we watched I Know What You Did Last Summer. And that's the movie. I actually don't know what you did last summer, listeners. But yep, it's the I guess cult classic blockbuster of 1997 with familiar faces like Jennifer Love Hewitt, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Freddie Prinze Jr., Ryan Phillippe.
I'm shocked you know all those names. You are not good with names.
No, I'm not. I'm reading them on Google.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, we debated this for a second. I'll give the good listeners the synopsis here. But yeah, I'll say my piece after this. 4 young friends bound by a tragic accident are reunited when they find themselves being stalked by a hook-wielding maniac in their small seaside town.
Dun, dun, dun. Our tagline this week, guys, if you're going to bury the truth, make sure it stays buried.
Oh, spine tingling. How many times have you seen this?
A few. Yeah, I don't own it, but I've definitely seen it a few times. Yeah. I was a little young. Well, I was definitely young. I was 11.
Right.
When this movie came out. So definitely too young for me. Actually, what was it rated? Let me see.
R.
I don't fucking know why, but whatever. Disagree with that rating. Probably the first time I saw it, I don't remember, but it was probably definitely a blockbuster rental.
Yeah.
Like for a sleepover.
That's a good description. I don't know why. It feels like that kind of movie.
I feel like it was just on TV a lot, too.
It was on TV a lot. And also, yeah, it just felt like a movie I would get at like a Blockbuster. This movie is like, I don't know, the feel of it. When you said it was on TV a lot, I suddenly got the phrase in my head like Hallmark thriller, but more risque.
I don't think I would, because I don't know if you knew this, but it's based on a book. Lois Duncan wrote a whole bunch of kind of like teen thrillers, kind of a good door into horror for like teenagers. Like they weren't too scary, but they were good, gateway into the horror genre, obviously in novel form. Well, she just passed away in 2016. But yeah, she's most known for her novels of suspense for teenagers. So yeah, that's kind of, it wasn't like an original. I will say, I don't know if this would surprise you. I mean, the actual screenplay was written by Kevin Williamson, who wrote three Scream movies and then The Faculty that we watched not too long ago.
That actually doesn't surprise me because we watched The Faculty for the podcast and I have like very good memory of at least the original Scream. And there's still sort of that, like, the tone is a bit more colorful and you can have a bit more fun with it. And it's even slightly campy at times. And I can totally get that the writer of like some Scream movies would also written this. And yeah, there's like some tense moments, but overall, I don't think that I got any jump scares. I don't think I ever felt any tension. It was a little lackluster.
I feel like I might have been not scared, but like there was more tension when I was younger.
Sure.
When I watched this movie, one of my notes, I said, like, was it enjoyable? Yes. Could I have taken a nap during the movie? Absolutely. Like, it's one of those, like, there's a few, like, I'm trying to, like, collect horror movies that, like, I, like, feel so comfortable with that I can nap during. Like, the 1990s The Haunting with Catherine Zeta-Jones. That's one of them that, like, I can nap during. You know, who can't nap when Owen Wilson gets decapitated? But like, yeah, it's wow. Kind of like one of those movies. Like, it's a really good TV movie because like you can turn it on at any point and you're fine. Like, and you can go and like do the dishes and come back and you're still fine. And it's funny. So I was looking for reviews for this movie and fucking the hilarity was out. I have 13 tabs of reviews. I'm not going to read them all.
Oh my.
But I just couldn't stop. They were the main common theme throughout the reviews was that everybody thought that Helen should have been the final girl and that Helen was so close to making it. Like, for those who haven't seen it, Helen, played by Sarah Michelle Gellar, who,
right.
I feel so bad. Every time that she's Sarah Michelle Gellar, who was one of my favorite actresses, but every time she's in a movie where her life is in danger, I would think, I'm like, come on, Buffy, just, you could kick his ass so easily, so easily without even breaking a sweat. But, you know, she's obviously not Buffy. She's Helen. But everybody said Helen should have been the final girl. And Helen's death, she's like almost gotten away. She's in this alley and the parade's going by with people and a marching band. And she pauses and then turns back and he fucking gets her. She was so close.
Yeah.
But yeah, let me see there. This is a good one. This was written by Michael, who said, Sarah Michelle Gellar said, fuck blue lives. Which is so great. They watched it the summer or the fall of 2020 as well. But yeah, I think that it's, you know, you always have those moments during slasher movies where you feel like the character is making a dumb decision for their survival. I don't know. Like, there weren't a lot of moments where I was like, oh, you're making a dumb decision. But like when they were on the boat and why she just didn't jump into the water, I don't know. They were acting like it was lava or something and refusing to jump in the water. Yeah. That was the only part that I was like, all right, come on. But this is kind of one of those rare slasher movies where it was like, okay, but I didn't suffer, SBS, which is, slasher boredom syndrome.
Right.
Like I said, like you could take a nap, but you could still enjoy it. So I don't think it falls under slasher boredom syndrome. And I think that because it also, one of the reasons it doesn't is there's enough plot in between the kills. Not that it's great plot, but it's plot. And there's fish floats. So like you really can't be totally bored when there's fish floats going by in a parade. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know where I was going with that thought. This is going to be a very rambly.
Yeah, podcast. Just kind of a, I'm just kind of vibing with the mood of the movie, I'm just kind of coasting along. I think one other reason I'm thinking that I, like, there was something left to be desired. There wasn't something about this movie or this killer that felt unique enough to stand out on its own like Scream does. You know, from the mask to the phone calls.
I think I disagree just a little bit because the hook is pretty memorable.
I guess the hook is. But from there, it just, I couldn't tell for a while, like, okay, is it supernatural? Is it more of like a whodunit, who's killing kind of thing? Who's the killer? It's got to be someone living who's like either crazy or vengeful. And then it just ends up being the guy that they hit who just didn't die.
You sound confused, as if you don't know for sure that's the answer.
No, it's not so much. Well, it took me a minute to like process like, oh, okay, they're just going that direction, I guess, because there's just, it was just kind of very underwhelming when they just kind of reveal in a few seconds it's the guy that they hit. He's just like a dude. And I mean, he's reasonably disgruntled.
This brings me to our next review.
Okay.
Written by Pube.
What up, Pube?
They said, I'm glad all of the people who I drunkenly run over and threw into the ocean have never come back to haunt me.
Good. I'm glad for you too, I guess. Like the only other time where there's been a serial killer or slasher that just has what I'll call regular dude, you know, I guess you could say Scream, even though I think they did well to play up the insanity and the meta message behind serial like slasher movies. And with, you know, the only other one I can think is Black Christmas, which is one of my favorites we've done on the podcast. Shout out to Black Christmas episode. Because again, there was still something so unique about the character, even though you don't get to fully, you know, you're never supposed to completely know the killer. I just didn't find grumpy dude with a hook to be very memorable. I feel like they just kind of reveal it and, okay, we're going to fight on the boat. Yeah, I don't know. I just felt underwhelmed about the whole thing. I was waiting for something to feel supernatural, or it was his daughter. Maybe it was Susie, you know?
Who was already dead?
No, I thought Susie was the blonde.
No, that was Missy.
Oh, Susie, Missy. I got the names confused. And maybe I was just trying to expect something like My Bloody Valentine. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just rambling too, but...
So it's funny. I remembered this movie very well when I watched it, apart from like who exactly the killer was. But I feel like I didn't take it as seriously as you did.
Well, it's not taking it seriously.
But like, I mean, I was underwhelmed, but like, I don't know. It didn't affect my view. Like, it was still like enjoyable. Uh-huh. Even if I didn't need to pay attention. But okay, so let's do a review. I like this one because this one would have been 100% agree with this. This was written by Heather. They said, I mean, I know they made a pact and shit, but I would have told my mom the second I got home, just saying. I would have put it in my parents' group chat that I had with them.
I mean, that's completely believable. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm watching, one of the shows I'm watching right now is Pretty Little Liars, which is notorious for, if these four girls had just fucking told their parents, right, you know, the whole series, it has a teacher and student plot that we won't get into because I'll rant, but like, it's another classic example of like teens being blackmailed. If they would have just fucking told somebody.
Yeah.
Like, obviously you wouldn't have a show, but.
But, well, then maybe you should write your show a little differently.
Right? They get blackmailed. They tell like an adult and the show ends. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. I think that those kind of plots, maybe I just don't gravitate to those either too much. I don't know if, where's this fall in the spectrum of Becca's, either you brought this on yourself or stumbled upon?
Good question. Well, this is definitely you brought this on yourself.
Yeah.
I think it was pretty obvious. Well, although I didn't think about
drunkenly stumbled upon him in the road.
I know, but they ran him over and then like didn't get him help.
Yeah, they made it worse. Like every, it's like a choose your own adventure, and they kept choosing the wrong right thing every few minutes.
I think one of the reasons I have such a I don't have like an over fondness in my heart for this movie, but like I'm fond of this movie is, like I said, I'm a big Sarah Michelle Gellar fan, and like, you know, Freddie Prinze Jr. is in it, and they've been married for 20 years, I think. Oh. And so it's just really cute that like this is like the first movie they did together, and I don't know if they were dating at this point or not, or like if this is where they met. But I think that's really fucking sweet. And like, I liked, somebody wrote their review. They said Sarah Michelle Gellar and Freddie Prinze Jr. cinematic universe rewatch. Because obviously then they went on to do like both the live action Scooby-Doo movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I just think it's really sweet. And that's probably like if they weren't in it, I don't think I would still have like the same fondness for this. I say fondness, but fondness is too strong of a word. Like, I don't think I would have, I would think I would have more negative things to say.
Right.
It's funny because like you compared this movie to Scream, which,
well, I just wanted to interrupt real quick to just make this small comment that, you mentioned them working on Scooby-Doo, and, weird side note to connect it back with the writer. Matthew Lillard in Scream was Shaggy in Scooby-Doo. Yes,
that is correct. There you go. He was also in the new Twin Peaks season.
Yes, he was.
He's a good crier, man. I love the first Scream movie a lot. Like, it's one of like my favorite slasher movies. They're all enjoyable to watch, but they're also good napping movies for me. But yeah, it's comparing. I think Scream came out in 99, right? I'm pretty sure.
Scream came out in 96.
Did it really?
A year before I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Really? I thought, why did I think it was 99? Did Scream 2 come out in 99?
Scream 3 came out in 2000.
Oh, you know what? Scream 2 came out in 1997 too. That's funny. Yep. All right. Well, we kind of get a few teen slasher like movies now, but it was definitely like a huge moment in like the 90s for a lot of teen based horror. I don't think we're necessarily in that moment right now. We're a little bit with, you know, the Scream that had come out. And then there's Bodies, but I don't know if they're teens. They might be like college age. I don't know if these movies hold up if you hadn't seen them when they came out or like around the time they came out. That's one of the things with like the blockbuster age. Like you can't like go and pick this movie up and go home and watch it. Like somebody would have to choose to watch it on streaming. That is an amazing noise. It was just right in the mic. It was incredible. but I can't put myself in like a 14-year-old's body. It sounded weird, but I can't put them in their mind space. But I don't think, like, if I was having, like, a sleepover, I don't think that this is a movie that I would choose. Like, if we wanted to watch, like, a 90s teen slasher, obviously you're going to pick Scream.
Yeah.
And I think that this movie, outside of, like, our generation and older, this movie is probably going to be forgotten.
Yeah. And you know what? Speaking of forgotten or forgettable, I know that you gave the shout out to The Hook, but Candyman did The Hook better.
That's just true, saying. But Candyman, when you think of Candyman, I think of the bees. I don't think of The Hook. He does have the hook for the hand though, so you are right. But Just when you say Candyman, I think of bees. That's the first thing. So let's find another this one. This one was written by Jenna, and they said, "Guys, I think he knew what they did last summer."
I just wish that, I hope that somewhere out there in the 90s, there was someone in the audience who was that kind of person.
I'm sure there was. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
There was also like an epidemic of like horror movies taking place in like small towns too. I don't think it's really a thing anymore. But yeah, like you put a serial killer in a small town, bam. You've got a movie. You've got a movie. Put a woman in a tight white shirt with cleavage on, bam, you've got a movie. And poor freaking Helen running for her life in that like slip dress. Like, you know, like kind of prom dress, but not really, running for her life.
Yeah.
As I thought about it, I was like, God, that has got to be the worst thing to run in.
But at least her like final fight, I mean, it couldn't hurt too bad because you're just getting knocked around a bunch of tires.
That's true.
Could have been like, you know, they're a good buffer, I guess.
Listen, poor Max with the ice.
Yeah.
So, speaking of towns, this review said, on some level, this town deserved a serial killer.
It does. It gave me some serial killer vibes. And it was just, there were just a lot of things that made me scratch my head or just weren't like as effective as I thought they would last. Like Jennifer Love Hewitt or Julie finding the Max in the trunk with crabs and then somehow comes back and in record time, every crab has been removed from the trunk and there's it's completely dry. I'm like, okay, is she just crazy? Or like, is there something supernatural going on? And you find out at the end, nope, this guy's just pretty mad.
He's pretty quick. Let's talk about the effects for a second.
Oh, yeah. Let's.
Because obviously the gore was not up to my standards. And it's funny because like for some reason, I thought it was gorier than it was.
Yeah.
Like, you had the hand losing scene, and, like, occasionally people spat up blood, but you didn't see, the only death scene you really saw, like, the gore of was, like, Max's, the beginning. Yeah, so I was pretty disappointed with that. And then it, like, when she's, like, going through the ice, which, is that a thing on fishing ships to have that much ice on board? Is that a thing?
I mean, I don't think they just spread it around like that.
But she's crawling through the ice. And like she like finds the bodies of what I think were her friends. But man, those dead bodies did not look like anybody. And not even remotely close.
Right.
They could have been any white person. Like, it was just like, you couldn't tell gender either. Like. Like, I don't know how she screamed. And well, I guess she could have just screamed because they were dead bodies, obviously. But like, yeah, it was not great. And it's just funny how my brain remembered it being worse than it was.
That's a good point, because I did find myself watching the kills, and I thought of you when, is it Helen's sister who gets like works? Oh yeah,
which she spit up like the paint. The red paint.
Well, it wasn't, I don't even know if she spat it up. It was like the camera was on the other side of the door, the window, and he does like the hua, like that's my noise for like a hook swipe, like hua, and he like swipes, and you assume blood came out of her somewhere, and it flew and hit the window next to her, and it's just clearly just red paint.
Listen. American, like, slashers cannot get close to the Italian blood splatter. Like, they, well, can't.
Even that they is can't. Like beautiful red paint. This was just like some PA on set squirted red paint on the,
literally like it was like a turkey baster.
Shit, like you could at least use ketchup or something. Give me some weird consistency, but not anyway. Yeah, I was not impressed.
I will say, having like just finished the third season of Stranger Things yesterday, a rewatch, obviously.
Okay.
That entire season was grosser than this movie. Like, I had forgotten how gross that season was. But like those, that show that families watch together, I think, was grosser than a rated R movie, which is, it still boggles my mind this is rated R. Because there is no sex scene. There is no nudity.
No.
There's barely any gore.
Do they even say fuck that often?
I don't know. I didn't have a fuck counter going. This is the most bullshit rated R I've ever seen in my entire life. Rated R for strong horror, violence, and language.
I don't know whose standards by which this is strong horror violence.
I mean, people running?
Someone's clearly never seen a horror movie.
I mean, like, Scream, you can get the rated R, because those death scenes are gorier. But that, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just oversaturated with blood.
No. Look, it's our job to watch. It's our unpaid job to watch horror movies. I mean, we've seen Johnny Depp get swallowed in a bed and become a waterfall, a geyser of blood. I'm pretty sure everyone listening to this would agree this was a bit underwhelming.
Yeah, and that's why I have issues with the MPAA. Like, this should have been a PG-13 movie.
For sure, definitely.
Maybe it was one too many F words. That might have been it, but like...
Yeah, maybe.
They're so fucking weird. Language and sex, but violence, A-okay.
I guess on the one hand, I did appreciate that it was just some dude. Like, maybe my expectations were like, this has to be some crazy explanation or twist.
Maybe you were just stuck on last night, M Night, and you were just wanting more of a twist.
There you go. That's what I wanted. I do like that the title and the end have, like, the message, I still know what you did last summer. Okay. Should I have expected him to forget? Like, I just love that that's the lead up title.
So the scene with Julie and what is his name?
The killer?
No. Freddie Prinze Jr. character. Ray. Ray, that's it. Let's just analyze this for a second. So, you know, they're all like cuddled in like the blankets that the really crappy looking blankets that police officers give you when like you've been a victim of a crime,
right?
In movies. So they're talking. They're like, you know, we didn't actually kill anyone. I'm like, yeah, but you still fucking hit him with your car and drowned him. So what? He fucking lived. You have a reason to feel guilt still. Like, you're not off scotch-free. Like, yeah, he overreacted a little bit.
Scotch-free, I like that.
But, like, the fact that they were sober, they're like, oh, we can breathe easier. And then, like, she goes back to college, and she's on the dean's list, and I'm like, you still fucking assaulted somebody.
Yeah.
Like, you said still, I mean, she should be in jail for being an accomplice, maybe. I'm not a lawyer, I don't know, but, like. Like, I'm just like, you still did a really bad thing. Like, and then the fact that he's not dead just erases your conscience. You're good to go.
That is kind of weird. Because, I mean, I think that I got this weird feeling at that point in the movie that we were supposed to, like, as the audience, chuckle along and, like, be in on the joke. Like, oh, those kids.
I think it's one of those things where, like, you look at, especially when I was younger, like, I didn't have the same, I mean, I didn't support killing people when I was younger, but, like, I think that it's easier to identify and, like, forgive certain things when you watch them in movies when you're younger, whereas, like, now I'm going to be 34 in less than a month. Like, I'm just like, okay, but you still fucking assaulted somebody. And I definitely didn't have that thought when I first watched it.
Right.
Like, you're relieved with them, but you're like, okay, but you still did a really bad thing.
Yeah, I think it's easy to forget that.
Nobody's really a great person here except for, like, Max, who didn't do shit, and the sister who didn't do shit, and the cop who was just didn't do shit. Like... That was the other thing.
That was the weird thing, right?
Because he was all about vengeance, but he took out three people who had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, and like, okay, the cop I get. Because
he was going to be discovered, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, and it was like, there's so many slasher movies where if it's not a cop, it's someone else who's like the one obstacle in the way for like 2 minutes to getting the real victim. I get that.
I guess along to some what, like the sister was there and in the way too.
But like the dude who was just working at that place and like Max. He shows up like the ex, he didn't do anything. Why would he even know to go to him?
Like, right. I don't know if he blamed him too for not seeing his body when like.
But then if he did, but then how would he know that
exactly.
he was there?
Exactly.
It was ridiculous.
He was probably the one that like made the. And especially you would want to keep him alive, I would think, because you would want him to be a red herring. You would want them to think that it was him doing it.
And that's exactly why I think they kill him, because for like, I think maybe the filmmakers, you know, the movie wants you to think as the audience, maybe it's this guy. But then what's the point if like in the next scene you're just going to off him? It's like, oh, okay.
Because they wanted the red herring to be more on Ray. And they wanted like the whole boyfriend scream angle kind of thing where like it was.
Yeah.
Which maybe that's what this movie was missing, was Matthew Lillard. Or like a Jamie Kennedy kind of. Maybe this movie needed more comic relief. Or any comic relief.
Any comic relief. Well, comic relief, for, again, like I said, just. If they just let. Ben Willis, who's the guy that goes crazy with the hook, if they just allow him to be a little more crazy or absurd, or like, I don't know, give him a little flavor, you know, a little oomph, then, you know, throw some spice in that sauce. Maybe I would have been more on board and like getting.
I think
to the
my
scene
thing
more.
He also didn't like publicly display like his victims, like nobody else in this town was.
Yeah, he just kind of like takes
at
them
all.
And hides them.
You know?
And also, what was up with unintentional laugh here? Helen sees her boyfriend, Barry, getting hacked, like in the balcony. And she starts running and like pointing out and screaming for someone to help. They cut back to like him repeatedly getting stabbed. And cut back to her just being held by strangers.
Being manhandled, yeah.
Like, why
and
are they doing
acting
that?
Acting like she's a hysterical woman. Classic.
Well, yeah, right. Which is its own problem. But also, it's just fucking weird. Like, I can't even think of another movie, good or bad, where, like, if you're a character that needs to run for any reason, the extras, everyone else are just extras in the movie that just stand or move out of your way. Well, what's that person doing? I don't know. But this was like actively like, everyone jump in, get in the pile, grab her. Like,
heaven forbid she go up to the balcony.
And yeah, and it was like,
like, what are you stopping her from doing?
And they're equally confused. Yeah, they don't know why they're right? holding her. I feel like they were given, those extras were given direction and they're just standing there like Will Ferrell in Talladega Nights. I don't know what to do with my hands.
Let me like, just grab onto a woman inappropriately and just hold on to her.
And I was waiting for it to make sense, right? And then the death stops, and finally someone like stops and it's back to normal, and this cop comes over and she explains, so he does the cop thing and I says, okay.
Looks two feet around and that's it.
Well, no, he goes upstairs with her, right? And as soon as he says, okay, come with me, the dude who's holding her just kind of lets go.
Like she had done a crime or something and he was holding her back from stabbing someone.
Yeah, I found that ridiculous.
So another review was written by Jack. The scene where Sarah Michelle Gellar wakes up to find her hair has been cut off is better than the horse head scene from The Godfather. But yeah, I thought that, I mean, serial killers don't often cut hair. So like, bravo to them for like going that route, you know?
At first I thought maybe he drugged her with something and her hair was falling out.
That fast overnight.
Yeah, he got crabs out of a car that fast in 5 minutes. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know how somebody doesn't wake up with your hair being cut, but hey.
I mean, she's a heavy sleeper, clearly. And I just want, is there a missing scene from the movie where he does that? And he's just like pulls up a stool and he sits down and he just spends the next 30 minutes carefully cutting her
hair.
Okay,
that was the other thing. I'm glad you mentioned this. So the dude full on walks into their house. The dad is sitting right there. The sister's home. Nobody fucking, okay, and that's the other thing. Nobody fucking locks their door, okay? Like, my parents did that shit when they lived in their old house.
Yeah.
Didn't fucking, I'm like, I don't know if it's me who's like always lived in like rentals, like automatic lock the door. As soon as my foot gets in, as soon as like I'm inside, the automatic lock the door. Like that's automatic. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's like a small town thing, but even then, like, listen to a few episodes of a small town murder, okay? Like murders happen, really gruesome murders happen in small towns.
And that's literally so many I've read about. Unsolved cases, even of very popular murders, a lot of them start with the door was just unlocked.
Locked. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Lock your fucking door.
I make it part of my OCD. I have to make sure that every single door is locked before bed, even if I locked it 15 minutes ago.
I don't know if I have a lock on my patio door, but I also live on the third floor, so I don't think that. Yeah, but I even have a dog who will bark, you know, if you breathe too close to the door or like breathe within like 3 miles of the door, like he'll bark and I'll still lock it.
He just doesn't pick up on the ghost child that, you know, appeared in our podcast that one time.
I found this TikToker this week. This guy who his username is Latinos Against Spooky Shit. And he's amazing. Like, he gives advice when people post like spooky videos of how what you should not be doing and what you should do after you do the stupid thing. A lot of it involves Vicks Vapor Rub, and a lot of things from like Latin culture, like the whole hitting with the sandal thing. And he has a saying where, like, you heard something? No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Like, that's the same.
It's great.
You heard something? No, you didn't. Like, that's going to be my life motto. Like, if I hear anything creepy, no, I didn't. No, I didn't.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. Like, and I just.
And it's probably, and it's true 90% of the time.
And you know what? You lock your door.
Exactly. If you're not sure, lock your door.
Lock your door. You accidentally hit somebody with your car, call the police.
Lock your door.
Don't say anything until your lawyer gets there. I have learned that from my favorite TikTok public defender. Don't say anything until your lawyer. Don't say anything without your lawyer. But do call the police and do try to get the person you hit, you know, medical attention.
Yeah.
Now, they may not want to ride in an ambulance if it's in America because it costs $5,000. They may want an Uber, so you need to pay for an Uber for that. But, like, still also call the police. This has been life tips from us, guys.
Okay, so have you... Do you know anything about the TV series?
I do not, except that it's not like my horror TV show list because there are not a lot of horror TV shows, surprisingly. And I want to say it involves honey. Somehow.
So they're just leaning real hard into the Candyman.
I don't know. I know that like that's like on the like the title card on Amazon because it's an Amazon series, I think. And I remember like Du Mois, can't fucking who you don't know, but they were like heavily promoting the series when it came out. I don't know if it was last summer. It might have been last summer, but I know honey was involved in something, but I'm sure it's the exact same one. They did something over the summer and they didn't
honey.
Quite kill the person and the person is coming back and killing them.
Oh, I hope it's Winnie the Pooh and they took his honey. I would so watch
that's the that. Plot of the Winnie the Pooh horror movie that's coming out, actually.
Yes.
That's exactly the plot of it.
Which is real and not a joke and is amazing.
I scared my teammates and showed them the stills from that movie, which if you haven't seen the stills, do yourself a favor and Google them. Incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. Okay. Well, I feel like we've covered all our bases with this one.
Oh, wrap up thoughts. So
yeah. Well, yeah, that's what I meant.
Boy the Glare, which anti shout out to Tyrell for sending me a video today or yesterday. No, it was today. Of him watching a Lord of the Rings movie with the most terrible glare I have ever seen on his TV. Only for the purpose that he knew it would drive me nuts. So anti shout out to you. I don't even know if you listen to these anymore, but like, you know, whatever. He's been my friend for 12 years. It's fine.
I'm sure he's going to hear it and I'm sure he's going to love it.
He's not going to. He will if I tell him when this episode comes out, if I tell him he gets a shout out, he'll listen to the episode. But, but yeah, Beware the Glare. That is one thing you cannot send me on Twitter. Your glare situations. Please don't do that.
Oh my God. That just gave me an idea. Yes. Everyone send your best glare pic.
No. So I would say definitely beware the glare on this movie. It has its darker scenes. Like I think a lot of the kills take place in dark areas. So definitely, shut your blinds or watch it at night, without the lights on, despite what our podcast tells you, or like strategically place your lights. Like you can watch it with the lights on, but like don't have the light like right on your screen. Anyways, like I said earlier, I don't own this movie. And I don't think I'm going to own this movie. Because like I said, it's a good nappable movie. But like it's also, I don't know, it's probably one I could watch like every 10 years and be all right with it. Like rewatchability, it's probably there, but it's not one like I'm going to be itching to watch for a while. In terms of like slasher, I tend to prefer like the slasher comedies. And this one, as we mentioned, was lacking any comedy element. Yeah, so, but I mean, I wasn't bored by it. Despite there's being bored and there's being able to take a nap while not being bored, if that makes sense. And that was the latter case. The gore was disappointing. Yeah, like Brian had mentioned, the suspense. It might have been more suspenseful back in the day, but I think it doesn't match today's level of suspense. And I think I said this before, I don't think it's going to like hold up in terms of like 90s slashers, especially with Scream. It's never going to come close to Scream.
Right.
But if you're from our generation and you want like a fun like throwback, you throw it on. It's fine. So yeah, with all that ramble being said, I gave this movie... three coughs. No, I'm just kidding. I gave this movie 2 stars.
All right. Yeah, Becca kind of touched on the similar points that I had. You know, it's unfortunate for the movie, for the movie's sake that, you know, Becca, you mentioned you can't live up to Scream. And we, as we discovered, Scream came out before this. So it was outdone before it even existed. I think that there's a few things to merit, you know. It's obviously not like a carbon copy. It's like a very different story from Scream. And, you know, I could see this being a movie that someone could take a nap to and wake up and be like, oh, there's Jennifer Love Hewitt. And she's doing, oh, there she's saying the thing. What are you waiting for? She screams the line and I'm going to go back to sleep. And I'll wake up when the movie is, you know, either over or I get to see the mannequins in the ice or something. I just don't feel that it, like, I know there's 2 other movies. I might watch them. I don't know. It doesn't really set me up with excitement for it. I couldn't think of a lot to take away from it that was like great. So I think if you're thinking of 90s slasher or just 90s horror, there's a lot others that could go you could go to. We did The Faculty, you know, I'd watch that one again. It did not make me put my phone down. It was very much up, which is sad because for someone to have their phone up so much, I did not take very many notes. And I like that in the last like thrilling scene on the boat, I like that the killer basically had the same fashion style as Ernest from the Ernest Scared Stupid movies and Ernest Goes to Camp. he's basically Ernest. Yeah, I'm actually, unfortunately, I'm going to, sorry movie, but lucky for you, Becca, I'll give you some easy math and I'm going to go with 2.
All right. Sweet. That's no math. I wanted to compare our rating to the average rating. The average rating is 2.9 on there. So we're pretty close.
Ooh.
Next week, I'm pretty excited. We are watching a suggestion recommendation. We will be watching It Follows.
And, yeah.
Suggested by our listener and guest host, Michael, from the Blair Witch Project.
Nope. Nope, not that Michael. Shout out to Michael Lowendick.
Oh, that Michael.
Yeah.
Fucking, I'm losing it. I'm sorry, Michael Lowendick.
It's okay. And great pick. Looking forward to this one again. I did see it in theaters, but you know, I've only seen this once. So I'm excited
for... Yeah, we're going to be watching It Follows.
A second viewing.
A second viewing. I fucking own this movie, so... I don't know how many times.
Uh-oh.
But... as I die. It'll be funny to compare because, like, that's also, like, a teen movie. It's not a teen slasher movie, but it's also a teen movie.
Well, I think if any of our listeners can tell, Becca and Brian are very tired for very different reasons. You know, both of, you know, me for a baby, Becca, you're sick.
I'm really not. This cough won't go away. I have a dog who wakes me up between 4 and 5 o'clock every day, closer to 4. So that's why I'm tired every day.
That's fair. And then we're collectively tired because, America sucks. Hey, catch us for some more streaming fun to get your scream on next week. Otherwise, do the thing. You can follow us, chat, reach out. You can do so on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're streaming with the lights on. We're on Letterboxd as SWTLO. Follow us, we'll follow you back. Hit us up at our email, streamingwiththelightson@gmail.com. And that's going to be it. I know what you listened to this summer, and it was Streaming with the Lights On.
And I can't remember what I did last summer, so it's fine.